Utah on November 12th, 1985. And we are talking in the home of John Nettleton. And Warren, why don't you give us your pedigree, your name, and where you live now? And
okay, I'm Warren Gutaw. I live at 605 Fifth Street South here in Moorhead.
And where were you born?
I was born in Moorhead.
And that was in what year?
1916.
Many people in this town are Norwegian. What is your nationality?
My mother was Norwegian, my father was German, so I'm half and half.
Okay. We'd like to know about your educational background, where you went to grade school and whatever.
Yeah, I went to grade school at the Hopkins School in Moorhead, and the Lincoln School, and Moorhead Senior High School. Moorhead Junior High also, of course. And that's about the extent of my education, my formal education, except for classes that I took at Moorhead State University and some other minor schooling efforts.
Now, you mentioned your parents' nationality, and were they born in the United States, or were they immigrants, or?
My father was born in April of 1880 in Whitehall, Wisconsin, and his parents came from the Lübeck area of Germany.
And on your mother's side?
On my mother's side, her folks came from Eidsvold, where the Norwegian Constitution was signed, and Declaration of Independence, Norway from Sweden. And from a little place called Ness på Romerike in Norway, my other grandparent.
Nice.
They came here, they both came here in 1880. Both sides of the family.
Hey, Warren, you're known well in Moorhead as a Moorhead businessman, and many people have mentioned Warren's Cafe, and we'd like to know about how you got in business and things about business in the Moorhead community. What was your father's business?
Well, my father was a chef, a pastry chef, and he operated two restaurants in St. Paul, Minnesota, and moved up to Moorhead in 1911, opened a restaurant in 1912. In Moorhead. And
you remember the name of that?
That was called the Key City Lunchroom. It's the same location as Warren's Cafe quite a few years later, of course, was built on that same location.
For the sake of the record, could you give us the address of that location?
Yes, the address was 15 4th Street North. Moorhead.
All right. So in 1911 and 1912 was the year in which your father opened the Key City restaurant.
That's right.
All right, and he ran that for how many years?
Well, he ran it until he passed away, which was in 1936.
Right. And how did you enter the picture?
Well, I had been working with my father, and when my father passed away, my mother and I had a conversation in which I pointed out this would probably be a crossroads in my life and that I wasn't sure just what I wanted to do. And at the time, it was in 1936, during the depths of the Depression, and she pointed out that a lot of people were starving, and that if I made a success of the restaurant business, I'd always have Bodhi. And I think it's kind of a criterion of the times that this was an important thing to have, is that the assurance that you'd always have food on your table.
How old were you then?
I was 20.
This was quite a burden thrust upon you at the tender age of 20. Let's see, you'd been out of high school 3 years, perhaps, 3 or 4 years.
Yeah, 2 years, I guess. 1934 I graduated.
And so, what role did your mother play in the restaurant?
Well, she and I formed a partnership in which we were both equal partners, and we operated it as a family business.
Did she give you a half of the business, or were
well,
you...
Well, she did in a way, although when my father passed away, of course, I was entitled to a share of the business at that time, and she put enough of her interest into the business so that we were 50-50 partners.
Can you recall back to that time about how many people could be seated in that restaurant?
I was thinking about that this morning. That might be one of your questions, and I believe that I came up with about 32 to 36 people.
Is it like restaurants today? Did it have a counter, and did it have booths and
yes,
seats?
It was that way. And of course, it was a family type operation when I was growing up, and I was staying at home, of course. Two of my sisters worked in the restaurant. My mother worked in the restaurant. I worked in the restaurant. My dad worked in the restaurant. So it was a family operation. Besides that, we hired, probably 4 or 5 or 6 other people.
This suggests rather long hours. Do you remember what hours?
Yes, 14 hours a week. 80 hours a week, 14 hours a day, you might say, was not uncommon. Although I never felt like I was, I can't think of the word now, I never felt abused because it was long hours. One of the things about the restaurant business is you do have a chance to meet a lot of interesting people, and time goes fast. So even though you put in maybe 14 hours, part of those 14 hours would be, you might say, almost recreation, because visiting with the customers and the people that you did business with.
I hope I'm not changing the subject too much. I want to follow that through. But was this called the Key City Restaurant after your father died, or was that changed?
No, that was the original name, the Key City Lunchroom.
And when did it change its name?
It was when we tore the old building down and built a new one. That would be in 1946. When we tore the old building down in 1947, when we opened the new Warren's Cafe.
All right. Okay, so I did jump ahead too fast there. I want to go back to the 1936 when you and your two sisters and your mother, you said you did hire some help.
Yeah, my two sisters had already been married by this time and were no longer actively operating the restaurant right at that time.
Could you indicate about the kind of wages that were paid your help at that time?
I know we paid some of the cooks like $1 a day, some of them even $5 a week for 6 day a week. Of course, $1 a day on board.
And they did, and they were able to eat also.
Yeah, when they were on duty, they weren't allowed to like go off duty and then come back and eat.
Let's see, Social Security was not a fringe benefit at that time, was it?
No, I think Social Security started on January 1st, 1937, I believe.
Were there other fringe benefits for the employees other than eating and later Social Security? There weren't such things as insurance and...
No.
Okay. What kind of clientele visited the Key City restaurant? Was this business people? Was it like coffees in the morning, or was it a restaurant that an evening kind of a restaurant.
It was all of that, and it was mostly, we catered to farmers a lot, and we did do a real good farm business. And then the neighbors, of course, attorneys, doctors, whatever, we did some business from them also, but we did, farmers was our target. And we could get the farmers to come in and eating when we knew we had it made. Farmers had good appetites, and also working people had good appetites, where doctors, dentists, attorneys, a lot of times their appetites aren't so good. Something is bothering them, maybe in their life, and they probably skip a meal rather than eat.
Did attorneys and those professional people, as you said, that lived or had offices in that area, did they meet there on a regular basis for commiserating to talking and so on?
Oh, yes, they would get it together in a booth or at the counter and talk things over every day.
To what extent do you feel that you were responsible for an atmosphere that would encourage people to come there? Did you work on that?
Yes, I did. I made a practice of learning people's names and calling them by their names when they would come in. And I noticed that people seemed to appreciate that. And I think it kept them coming back. Let's go to Warren's, because he knows us. Maybe they didn't say that out loud, but I think this was in their head.
So you paid special attention to that. Did you instruct your employees, waitresses and waiters?
Yes. Yes, I instructed them to be friendly with the customers, give them good service.
They get an extra free cup of coffee, second cup, or was that, did they pay?
No, we gave them all the coffee they could drink, and at that time it was a nickel a cup.
I was going to ask that question, thank you. How much would a good steak be?
We used to sell, now this is, you might not believe it, but it's the truth, and if you want to get a Bible out, I'd swear on it, but we used to sell a T-bone steak, including the everything that went with it, for 35 cents.
Including the coffee?
Including coffee and dessert.
Well, that's good that you mentioned that, because it would be interesting to know who supplied the meat, potatoes, and what other restaurant supplies that were necessary. Could you speak to that? And
well, yeah, there was the butcher shop right next door, Wenzel's Meat Market, that we did a lot of business with, and of course we bought meats from the packers too, like Armour's and Swift and Morell's, and the potatoes we buy like from the farmers. We'd buy at least 20 sacks at a time, usually 2,000 pound sacks. We did a real good business, and we needed a lot of supplies to keep up with the food that was going out.
How were the potatoes peeled?
Well, at that time they were peeled by hand,
so it was rather labor intensive. There wasn't any such
no.
a thing as a potato peeler.
Not until later on, not until we built Warren's Cafe in 47, then we had potato peelers, automatic ones.
Were the steaks cut for you in the butcher shop?
Sometimes they were, although I liked cutting meat. That was my specialty, was cutting meat and making hamburger and cutting roasts and steaks and so forth.
So perhaps some of the success by which you're known came from having a special steak at Warren's Cafe.
Right, very true.
You mentioned Armour and what was the other?
Swift. Morell's.
They were not located in the Fargo-Moorhead area, were they?
They were located in Fargo, but Wenzel's, like I said, it was right next door.
Oh.
Wenzel's Meat Market. And we did a lot of business with Wenzel's.
Was there salesmen that called on you?
Yes. The packers called on me, and also the grocery houses called on me, the wholesale grocers.
Did you buy on the basis of price alone?
Oh, no. No, we always had to have first quality.
Did you ever buy on the basis of friendship with salespeople?
Well, possibly. I think I made friends with a lot of them. And I know that sometimes a salesman can do you a lot of good because they can recommend buys that you might escape your attention. Sometimes specials come up. I know that I took advantage of those when I could.
Well, that's very helpful. Now let's begin to move forward in time. We've described very well the Key City restaurant, and it was it remained the Key City restaurant until 1946. Am I correct?
That's correct.
Now, what made the change at this time?
Well, we were building an entirely new operation, an entirely new restaurant, and we thought that it would be a good idea to modernize the name, too. The name Key City came from the fact that Fargo called itself the Gate City, and Moorhead said, well, we're the key to the gate. In other words, we became the Key City, the city of Moorhead.
Parenthetically, this is so very, very helpful. I've lived in the Fargo-Moorhead area for 17 years, and Gate City Savings and Loan, I've often wondered why it is called Gate City, because I've not heard Fargo referred to as Gate City. This is something that's will be very helpful to people in the listening to this tape. What prompted the need to rebuild? Was there a change in management, partnership arrangement, or were you just running out of space? Or?
Well, it was a combination. Actually, the building that we were operating, the Key City Lunchroom in, was pretty much a worn-out building. It was an old remodeled house to start with, and turned into a restaurant after being remodeled, of course. And it was really unnecessary to build a new building. We're going to stay in business.
We is still your mother and you?
Well, my mother and I, and at that time, of course, my wife. My wife, Myrtle Sleeper, joined me in wedlock in 1937. And we didn't make any decisions without talking to her, too.
But it was still a 50-50 partnership
with my mother
with
and
your mother. And in building the building, did you own the land under the building?
Yes.
Did you buy that, or was that...
It was part of the building.
Okay. Was there a contractor that built the building for you?
Yes. M.O. Foss was the architect. And we were Foss's first customer when he moved up here from Fergus Falls. So, the contractor's name was Nasvik, Otto Nasvik. he was the one that built the building for the new Warren's Cafe.
Was it finished in 1947? At a cost of?
Well, the building itself cost about $25,000.
That must have been a very, very nice...
Well, that didn't include the fixtures, of course, and the equipment. That's just the shell, you might say.
It was a large investment for that period
of
time.
Yeah, it was. I borrowed the money from the First National Bank at 4.5%.
Could you take a minute, Warren, to describe the restaurant in 1947 as to prices and the things that you had told me about the Key City?
Well, we still sold meals at a might say ridiculously low price at that time. We would serve a complete Sunday dinner, for example, for $1.50. And that included beverage and dessert, whatever, you know. And we sold big, thick malted milks made with real ice cream for 25 cents. Sundays were still 15 cents. And banana splits were 35 cents. And we did cater it to the farmer, continue to cater to the farmer and serve the type of meals that the farmers liked. And we also catered to the colleges. And we derived a great part of our business from Concordia College and Morehead State University. College kids really made our place go.
Suppliers still remained the same, and
right.
Wages at that time in 1946.
Wages had increased to about 40 cents an hour from about 25 cents an hour in the previous year or two.
Tips
weren't generous, but I'd say the tips helped.
You still catered to the same people, the attorneys adjacent, and
concentrate then on the colleges, two colleges, Concordia and Morehead State University, and we advertised in their papers and put in specials and put in coupons to get the college kids to come down. It worked out real well.
Did you ever extend credit?
We never was asked much to extend credit. If somebody wanted to sign a slip, we always let them. But we never really did formal credit business.
Now tell me what happened when your mother passed away. That was in
1941, I believe it was. Yeah, my father passed away in 36, and my mother passed away in 43.
Well, then the building was built after your mother passed
away.
Yeah,
my mother had already passed away.
So then the building was built. I'm sorry, I must have confused this. To get it straight for the record, then you became the sole owner, proprietor at the death of your mother.
Yeah. This is true, except for one thing. One of my sisters wanted to be in the restaurant business with me. And we had worked together a long time, and we were both congenial with each other, and we were good friends and liked each other, and so I took her in as a partner, my sister Louise. And then when she remarried later on, she lost her husband, and then when she remarried later on, then I bought her share.
About what time was that, Warren?
Well, let's see.
In the 60s?
Yeah, it was in the 60s. In the late 60s.
But in building the building, was the loan and so on to the corporation or partnership, pardon me, or was it to Warren Gutow?
It was to Warren Gutow.
All right. Following this period, now, did you branch out in any way into other restaurants?
Yes, I operated a place in Detroit Lakes called Curly's Club. And I operated courthouse lunch in Morehead, and I operated Burgess Grill in Morehead.
Burgess Grill?
Yeah.
And where was that located?
That was located on Main Avenue, just off of 8th Street.
And the other one was the courthouse
lunch in Morehead, the Morehead Courthouse.
and it was located in the courthouse.
Yes.
As of this date, November 1985, there is still a restaurant in the basement of the courthouse.
Yes.
Did this follow what you had started?
No, that restaurant had already been started. I just operated it for a number of years.
So you were an operator rather than an owner?
Of the courthouse lunch, yes.
And of Virgie's?
Yeah.
Did you own that or operate it?
Just operated it.
So you were hired by?
I was hired by the court actually to operate it. The lady that owned the place was ill, and they needed somebody to operate it, until she recovered her health, which I did.
Were you physically there each day?
Yes. Maybe not very long, but I was there each day.
So you hired the people to manage, to work, and
yes,
saw to the accounting and purchasing and
I was responsible to the court for that.
And Virgie's, was that the same way? Who owned that?
No, that's what we were talking about. With
Virgie's.
Virgie's, yeah. That I operated it to the direction of the court, from the court direction.
The Detroit Lakes installation was...
Yeah, that was Curly's Club, it was called.
And were you hired there, or...?
No, I was the owner, but I hired a manager.
You hired a manager. How did that work out?
Worked out real well. It was a profit-making operation, and it worked out well.
Is there other areas regarding the restaurant business that we should cover that I haven't asked questions about?
Well, I can remember, like, when I was a little boy and the sheriff coming into the Key City Cafe, and he'd stand by the stove, and he had a big buffalo coat, and his coat would be shedding steam, and he'd be standing in close to the stove, and the steam would be coming off, and he would always have lutefisk, and lutefisk was one of our big specialties in those days, and because there's so many Norwegians, Scandinavians in the area, that we did a big business in lutefisk and lefse. And I remember the sheriff coming in and ordering lutefisk and lefse, and then standing up by the stove trying to get warm and getting the dampness out of his coat, his buffalo coat.
Who supplied lutefisk?
Well, we would buy it through the fisheries, like Booth's Fish. We would buy barrels of it at a time.
Barrels?
And the barrels of lutefisk.
Do you happen to know if lutefisk is available that way now from...
At any restaurants? Not that I know of. We served it every day for like from before Thanksgiving until about Easter. So we'd serve it all during the winter months. And those and fresh oysters we served a lot of too.
Is lutefisk an expensive meal?
At that time it was 35 cents, including the lefse and the beverage.
That's still
potatoes and everything that went with it.
That was still when you could buy the biggest steak for $1.45. Now, obviously, as of today, you are not in the restaurant business.
That's right.
So could you tell us how you phased out of that?
Well, when Urban Renewal came along, and they... bought me out, paid me off, tore down the old buildings. That's when I got into the real estate business. Although I had an interest in real estate for a long time, I owned my own building and I bought several other downtown buildings. At that time I owned five. When Urban Renewal came along, I owned five downtown buildings. So they were, I was paid off, like I said, buildings were torn down and the new development is more at Center Mall is what's replaced it.
The other four buildings, could you indicate for the record what businesses were in those buildings?
Yeah, I owned the building where Warren's Cafe was, of course, and where Wenzel's Meat Market and the S&S Grocery. Then I owned two on Center Avenue. I owned where Bluebird Cafe. I ended up owning that building and owning the building next door to it where Milo Matson had his furrier company.
So all of these buildings were in the urban renewal and were purchased. Does that bring us to the year of about 1970?
Yeah, I think so. Somewhere's in there.
Then you
maybe a little, not quite that far. Maybe like say 1968.
Then you entered another business.
I went and got into the real estate business and ended up with having my own company.
Driving the Viking Realty, and tell us about its location.
Well, it was located on 4th Street North, just a couple of doors up from where the Warren's Cafe had been.
You started out as a real estate salesman and then became a broker?
Yes.
And as a broker, how many salesmen did you have?
We had four salesmen.
And you operated the Viking Realty from
19... I operated the Viking Realty, I believe it was from about 1972 till about 1972
to about 1982, probably.
Yeah, 72 to 1980.
And did you sell that, or?
Yes, I did. I sold it to Charlie Ambule and Sid Winrock about 1980.
Well, yours has been a buying a history of business in the Moorhead community, and you carry with you a very good name. I am aware of that. It's been a real pleasure to visit with you concerning your business contribution in Moorhead. Is there anything that you would like to add regarding your business or observations that you have about business in Moorhead as we conclude our tape?
Well, I certainly would like to say that I appreciate all the customers, all the farmers and working people and the professional people that were customers of mine, and without those customers, of course, we wouldn't have been successful in any of those enterprises. So it was with deep appreciation that I feel towards all these people that patronized me and my family all these years.
Thank you, Warren Butoff.